Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Wow, thank you. What an honor. I was almost crying at the front. If you've known me for more than a week, I'm a crier. So thanks, Pastor Raph. I love you and your family. Jesse. Very cool to be here. Hey, you can take your seats. You don't have to stand for me, but you could give Jesus a big, big hand of praise. Amazing. Wow. I love East Campus. I got to be biased, but East Campus is my favorite campus out of the campuses. I served in City Campus, East Campus, and Bangkok, but I think this is the best. Don't tell them that, though. I have friends messaging me and saying, what are you talking about? I want to thank Pastor Raph and Amin and Pastor Corey and Sim for the privilege of sharing here today and bringing a word. Before I get into that, who thought Chris's communion, it's Chris, right? Was unbelievable. Give it up. As he's sharing communion, I'm like, this is the best communion message I've ever, I need his notes right now. And I'm going to just pretend God gave that to me. And that was unbelievable. So thank you for sharing around communion today. As you've heard, we've been in ministry for a little while, about 20 years. We've been doing church ministry in the last 12 months, we've stepped into the role at Alpha Crucis University College. You might be wondering, how does a pastor get a job like that? It could be that my father-in-law is the president of the college. Some friends are like, what are you doing there? And I'm like, well, you know, nepotism is at work. So I am the New South Wales and ACT State Director for Alpha Crucis. If you don't know what that is, it's our ACC, it's our National Bible College. But it's not only a Bible college, it's a Christian university. There's 4,000 students, campuses in every capital city in Australia, Auckland, New Zealand, as well as online, doing everything from ministry, teaching. Who knows that we need to have some influence in every sphere of society? And if you don't think university matters that much and we need a voice in there, anything we're living in right now came from ideas a long time ago that started within a university. So we need to have a Christian worldview, amen, within a university. So because I've got the mic, if you need to study at any time, you can go to Alpha Crucis and just say, Jesse sent me. And we'd love to have you online or whatever. So I've got two kids. I've got one wife, but two kids, and have been married 20 years. So we pretty much came back from our honeymoon into ministry in church and have loved it ever since, have just been serving God. I've got a 13-year-old boy. Some of you might remember, a couple maybe, remember them when they were here. We used to come to East Campus and the kids would be in their PJs at home and then wake up in a cinema and still in their PJs, and kind of that was Sunday morning, set up, pack up, amen. And those who are on those teams, you are getting an extra crown in heaven. I can tell you that right now. And we just love the journey of church planting here in the eastern suburbs and seeing what God has done. Our 13-year-old is named Jackson, and our 10-year-old daughter is Ruby Grace. And our first son was, if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. When you have kids, the first one was the easy one. And all the parents said, amen. Yes, after we had the first one, we thought, you know what, we're going to write a parenting book. Everyone thought this was difficult, but I knew the grace and favor of God was on my life. And we started to pen down, you know, our ideas of parenting and our wisdom from heaven. And then we had our second one and we decided to throw that book in the fire. And we knew nothing about parenting because our second one was screaming from the second she came out, and she's still screaming today. So that is our family. And our daughter, Ruby, she really is cute, the most adorable, but she loves to push the boundaries. And she comes home from school when she was younger and she says, Daddy, it's dinner time. She says, Daddy, I have a boyfriend. See, no one prepares you for this as a parent. I thought it was 18 when my daughter was going to say that, and I still would have said no, but it was about 4 or 5 years old. And she says, I've got a boyfriend. Just seriously, like She wasn't joking. I said, you can have a boyfriend when you're 35. I wasn't joking either. And she did what only Ruby does, and she looked me in the eyes, slammed her fist on the table and says, but Daddy, I love him. So if you're a parent, you know my pain. You know my pain. So please pray for us every time you get a second and you think of the Winchesters. You can pray for us. Hey, I'm going to get into the Word right now. If you've got a Bible, why don't you open it to Joshua chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, Pastor Raph will give you one straight after the service. And Joshua 4 verse 1 to 7, it says, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men. Everyone say, choose 12 men. From among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones are to be a memorial to the people of God, for the people of Israel forever. I enjoy the game of golf. I don't get to play golf very often, but who knows that your abilities of playing golf are going to determine how much you enjoy it. Has anyone played golf here before? If you haven't seen any, you might have watched the movie Happy Gilmore. Not me. I only watch Christian movies. But in that movie, it kind of shows you how frustrating golf can be. And in golf, our abilities dictate how much we enjoy the game of golf or enjoy the time on the golf course. But one thing, I'm not a pro golfer, don't worry, don't come up and ask me afterwards. But one thing I've learned about golf is this: if your stroke is not right, you shouldn't play golf. If your stroke's not right, you shouldn't play golf. Because this is what happens. When your stroke is wrong, what happens is you develop an incorrect technique. You know what I'm talking about? When the ball ends up in the neighbor's house or hits the freeway or anything like that, if your stroke isn't right, you just shouldn't play because you develop an incorrect technique. So you see, if it continues that way, you develop that stroke and you do it in the wrong way. But if your stroke is right and you begin to develop the right technique, this is what happens. You develop something called muscle memory. You develop muscle memory where what happens is you become more consistent in your golf. You thought you were in church at 9 a.m., but you're learning a little bit about golf. And this is what happens. You become more consistent in your game. See, here's the real difference in your game is when you bring memories from your previous game and you bring them into your present game. You create what is known as muscle memory. Who thinks that's the same in your life and my life? What happens is whatever we choose to take with us will determine the effect it has on us later. We got to be very intentional about what we're bringing into our future, amen? We can't be accidental. We can't just be have not a care in the world, but we need to be intentional about what we're bringing into our future. See, here's Joshua and the nation of Israel in the middle of a miracle. Sound familiar? I think Pneuma Church might be in the middle of a miracle right now. There's a move of God happening in this church that God is doing something incredible. And the nation of the world is looking at Pneuma and seeing God is raising up an army of people right here. So in the middle of a miracle, God is asking you to take something with you. This is a moment Israel has been waiting for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. They've been praying, dreaming, believing, thinking about this exact moment. And as they're crossing the Jordan River on dry ground, God stops the water. And they walk straight through. And as they cross from the wilderness into the promised land they've dreamed about, this is what God does. Just as they're crossing, God gets a remote control and hits a pause button. Don't you love when God does that in your life and my life? We've been waiting for so long, God, and just as we're crossing over, God goes, hold on, hold on, hold on. And you're like, couldn't you have told me a while back, you had like 700 years to kind of tell me something. Or couldn't you wait till we're across and then tell me? But God, right in the middle of the miracle, right in the middle of that moment, God says, hold on a second, I want you to remember me. Who knows, in our fast-paced world right now, you and I need to stop every now and then. We've got another email to get to. We've got another appointment. We've got another bill to pay. We've got something else to do. But sometimes God says, hey, stop for a second and remember what I have done in your life. So as the people are on their way to the other side, God speaks to them, speaks to Joshua and says, bring a stone from the middle of the Jordan. Choose 12 men. If you know scripture, you would realize that this could have carried a negative memory for them, because the last time 12 men were chosen to do something, for the whole nation's history, there was a memory in their mind, and not a good memory. The last time 12 people were chosen, this is what happened. They wandered around aimlessly for a long time. So if I was one of those 12 or in the crowd, this is what I would have done. Joshua turns up and goes, hey guys, this is what God's told me. And people would have been thinking, hold on a second. Wait, I remember last time this happened. I'm not going to be one of those guys. I'm going to just go over here as he's picking out 12 people. But that could have been a negative memory that they carried into their future. And in your life and in my life, if we're not careful, we can carry negative memories into our future. And rather than hearing the voice of God, we're carrying bags and bags of negative memories. We're carrying things from our past that God's never asked us to carry into our future, rather than carrying what God has told us to carry into our future. That prophetic word, that word that is spoken into our spirit. Instead of that, we're carrying the wrong things. So for this nation at that time, the people of God, it could have shaped their future if they weren't careful. So the task was to take a stone from the middle of the Jordan and carry it into their future. This is significant because God tells them to take something with them. In scripture, rocks and stones, if you ever read about that, speak to us of memories. Whenever God moved in people's lives in the Old Testament, you guys know, a lot of you would know what happened. They would build a monument. They would construct a monument of worship to God. So when you see stones and you see rocks in the Bible, it speaks to you and I of memories. See, Noah left the ark. You can read it for yourself if you don't believe me. And he stepped on dry ground. And if he was me, this is what he would have done. The second I would step onto dry ground out of the ark, I would have been looking around for the first coffee. That's what I would have been. And you're from Melbourne, you know what I'm talking about. You would have been like 5 months on a boat with smelly animals. Get me to a cafe right now. But the second he put his foot on dry ground, this is what Noah did. He built a monument. He said, I'm not going to forget this moment for me and my family. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to lift God up in this very moment. The exact same thing happened when Abraham was shown the promised land. And when he got there, he built an altar. Then the people of God left Egypt and are victorious in battle. And guess what Moses did? Moses built an altar. But probably my favorite is Jacob. Jacob slept on a rock. Who thinks the Bible's just weird? Just like, you're like, oh yeah, that's cool. No, this guy sleeps on a rock. That is just strange to me. So he sleeps on a rock, he uses a rock as a pillow, and he has a dream from heaven, and the second he wakes up, he builds an altar. What is he saying? I'm not going to forget this moment in my life. What God is doing right now, I'm not going to walk past it too quickly. I'm not going to move on too quickly. You and Christians that have lasting change are people who turn moments into monuments. Turn a small thing that other people would look past, you won't look past it. You'll say, no, that was God. I'm not just going to walk on by. The favor of God, the blessing of God, the healing that God's brought in my life, I'm going to build a monument. I give you permission next Sunday, please bring as many big, huge rocks as you can into church and say, Pastor Raph, Jesse said I could bring this rock and lay it at the altar. The pack-up team's like, dear Lord, please don't do that, whatever you do. We need to build a monument. We need to build a monument of worship to God. Who here loves a good holiday? If your hand's not up, you are lying in the house of God. Who here loves like bush holidays or going to the river, the mountains? Awesome. Anyone? Someone just goes, any holiday's a good holiday. Amen to you. Who loves a beach holiday? Yes, Lord, you're my people. Yes, I love you guys. See, our family, when the kids were little, we would go on beach holidays and I would tell the kids that they can get something, you know, to bring back with them. And rookie mistake as a young parent, because my kids would literally be dragging branches, carrying like anything, old chairs they found on the beach. And I'm like, oh, you can't bring all that mud and those rocks into the car. That's not happening. You can choose one. You can choose one shell, one rock. And then we got even smarter as parents. And we decided every place that we're going to go on holidays, we're going to bring back a magnet. Because you just put it in the suitcase. You're like, thank you, Lord. No more rocks, sticks, or mud in the car. Just put that in the bag. So any holiday we went on, we would get a magnet and we would put it on the fridge. So this one here is for Kangaroo Valley, south coast of New South Wales. I actually never saw a kangaroo there, so I was a bit disappointed. But Kangaroo Valley, we got to go there. And what we did is we got that magnet, we put it straight on the fridge. And so we would remember that moment. And then we got to go to PP Island in Thailand. Funny name, but beautiful place. And praise God, send me, Lord, he did when I prayed that prayer. Yes, Lord. And we got to go to London. Out of all places, my kids, like I literally didn't go anywhere as a kid. I was in a tent if we went on holiday. My kids get to go on amazing places now. We got to go to London, but all of those things my kids didn't really care that much about. To be honest, their favorite place they ever get to go to is Wet n Wild. That is like heaven for a young kid. Yes, Lord, Paris, London, who cares? Wet n Wild is the best place on earth. So we would put this on our fridge. We would put all of these places. Why did we do that? Because we wanted to create memories within our family. We wanted to create moments in our family. When something significant happens, it's something that we want to preserve. Significant moments should be preserved. You don't go past, so every time we walk past the fridge, go, remember how we went on that roller coaster? Oh, remember the food we had in Thailand? Remember that? So we would carry that into our future. First thing I want to say to you today, first point is this. I've only got 37, so we won't be too long. Bad preacher's joke. Apologies for that. First point, Rome is laughing. You know, you get it. God works miracles, but it's up to us to build monuments. God works miracles, but it's up to you and I to build monuments. Many of us are walking in a miracle right now. If you don't believe me, you prayed for a job and you're working in that job right now. And tomorrow morning, your boss asks you to go a bit early and we're complaining about having to go early. Oh, God. And we're walking in the middle of a miracle. See, God performs miracles, but if we don't take stock and remember what God has done, we can take those things for granted. We can walk past them far too quickly. See, God does miracles, but it's up to you and I to build a monument. Joshua understood this, telling the people, in years to come, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? See, he built a monument, so he didn't neglect what God had done. He could carry it into his future. And you and I need to do that with our testimonies, with our stories, with the things, our healings, whatever it might be. There's power in building a monument. See, what we choose to do with our memories makes all the difference. Many people aren't intentional about it. We just accidentally kind of go through life. But in this scripture, God is saying, choose 12 stones. Pick 12. Don't accidentally kick one as you walk past and then pick it up and go, oh, what's this? Choose them. Choose your stories. Choose your memories. I want you to remember what I did in this place. See, I like Joshua because I think he was quite clever. He was probably an older guy at that stage, and he got 12 young guys to go and get the rocks. He's smart already. So he didn't ruin his own back, but he got someone else to do it. He's like, I've got an idea. All right, let's choose 12 people. And you see these young guys with these massive boulders. and they're carrying these things, these huge rocks, and putting them in this place. Another guy comes over, boom, drops it down. And then Joshua, this is Jesse's version of the scripture, Joshua does this. He says, okay, everyone, stand back. And it says in scripture that Joshua constructed a monument. Joshua did it. He goes here, and he picks it, this rock, positions it exactly right. Picks this one, moves it here, puts that one on top, and he constructs it. Someone else did the heavy lifting, but he built a monument. Can I tell you, in your life and my life, you don't do the heavy lifting. God does the heavy lifting. You and I can sometimes think, this has all happened because of me. No, it hasn't. As hard as you've worked, as much as you tried to manufacture something and work hard and get to the position you're in, you weren't the one that did it. God did the heavy lifting in your life. He is the one that has performed a miracle. You didn't make it happen. You relied on a God that can perform miracles. But then it's up to you and me to say, we're going to create a monument to God. We're going to be the one that position every one of these stones to give worship to God. See, Joshua put it together. And friends, we can't walk past what God has done in our lives too quickly. Be decisive in our memories. Call to mind what God has done in your life. I mentioned earlier that we lived in Thailand for 7 years and we had a rental property in Thailand. It wasn't ours, we just rented it. But in my office, there was this huge corkboard on the side of the wall. And I didn't put that there, it was already there, but I decided to put things up on that corkboard. And people who came into my office thought it was strange. See, my wife has OCD. Does anyone else, like, she's super organized? And I'm like the opposite to that. So I'm normal, and she's not here, so I can say that. I'm like the normal, and she's like really, really, like everything, you move something, and it's like, and anyone else like that? Anyway, so you go into my office, and on the wall is all these pieces of paper. When people came into my office, they thought it was a crime scene. They're like, what is this weird place that you live in here? And I would have locations, I would have dates, I would have all these things on my wall, pieces of paper. And every single one of those pieces of paper was a testimony, was a miracle. Maybe not a huge thing that you think I'm only allowed to have something if it's this, but every detail, prophetic word over my kids, something that someone spoke into my heart, a scripture that God spoke to me, something that I felt God, I was believing for in faith. And I would have these up on my office wall. And every time I walked into my office, I would pray. I'll pray. I would say every word spoken over my family, I would declare the goodness of God. Even if I wasn't walking in it then, I would begin to say, God, you can do it. You've done it before. You can do it again. You're able to perform a miracle in my situation right now. Why did I do that? It wasn't because I wanted to be super spiritual. It's because I didn't want to let a single word that God spoke fall to the ground. I wanted to make sure that every moment in my life, I would create worship out of it. I would create a monument to God and say, God, thank you for providing in this situation. Thank you for bringing breakthrough in this situation. I refuse to forget. I'm going to remember what you have done. See, one of the traps that we can fall into is when we're doing well, we can forget about God. Don't put your hand up right now, but you know, we can be like that. When things are going well, we say, God, I think I've got it sorted. You can help someone else, like at the moment, like I'm doing pretty well. But then other times when we're going through a difficult time, we can also forget what God has done. And I wanted to read a scripture that I felt to read over you today. It's in Psalm 42, verse 6. It says this. I'm just going to read you the first part of it, and then please don't read on, just because the first part says this. It says, my soul is downcast within me. Who knows? He didn't just stub his toe on that day. That sounds like a pretty tough day. My soul is downcast within me. And this is what he does. Therefore, I will remember you. I will remember you. See, when you are going through difficulty, when you have anxiety, depression, and you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, this is what you shouldn't do. Don't just watch another Netflix series. It won't fix it. Don't just try to fill that void with something else. When your soul is downcast within you, this is what you need to do. I will remember you. I'm not going to just remember my situation. I'm going to remember God. And one of the reasons we turn moments with God into worship is so that we remember, that we don't forget what God has done. He says this, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan. I look back and carry memories into my future, carry testimonies of the goodness of God into my future. I want to encourage you, maybe this week, maybe you need to get a journal. Maybe you need to put some things up on your wall. Maybe you need to carry something with you as a testimony, as a reminder, and carry it into your future of what God is doing in your life right now. If I can invite the worship team to come up. When people do that, you think they're going to finish. So that way I've at least got your attention for a little bit more. So let's get the worship team up and then I'll keep going, you know? So my second point is this, what we choose to remember will affect our present and our future. When God turns up in your life, make sure you remember it. Make sure you remember it. Never forget what God has done. So we're in Thailand. Felt God call us back to Sydney of all places. As I said, God, my wife and I have always said, God, we'll do whatever you want. And then when we put our hand up and say, okay, God, send me wherever. God says, Sydney. And I thought, God, could you have sent us somewhere else where the property prices are just a little bit lower? Like any, you know, we're happy wherever. Just the property, like we're looking at that, we're like, no, God, what are you doing? And so we're in Thailand looking to come back. Been saving and saving and saving and saving and saving forever. It felt like forever to get a home. And as we're in Thailand, we're looking at Sydney, and as the property prices keep going up, and I'm like, no. And there's nervous laughter in the room right now. And we would just save a little bit more, and it's like, and then it goes higher, and I'm like, I can't keep up with this. God, help me. And so we decided to do something incredibly novel as a Christian. We decided to pray. Crazy. I know. Instead of worrying, instead of trying to figure it all out, we decided, you know what? We should pray. So we wrote this list of things. I thought it was like 7 or 8. My wife thinks it's 11, so she's the Holy Spirit, so she's right. And we wrote 11 things. The first thing we wrote down was we want to be near parks. Sometimes when I pray things, I think, doesn't God have way more to worry about? Like his wars. And I'm literally writing this with our family, the kids. And I'm thinking, does God even care? And I felt like God say, I care about every detail of your life. I care about every detail of your family. So I wrote, we want to be near parks, near family, schools, all of these things. The last one, even I thought was audacious. The last one, I wrote this down, and as I'm writing it, I'm like, I don't even know. Like, it's Sydney. I don't even know if God can do this one. Sorry, that was just a joke. I wrote down, we want to be near water. Exactly. See? Be near water. A few months go by, and we fly back, move to Sydney. Within a month or two, we found a place. And every single one of the things that we prayed for, God performed. Can I tell you something before you clap too loudly? That wasn't us. I didn't do any heavy lifting. We didn't have enough money. We weren't the ones that provided. We weren't the ones that made a way. It was God that performed a miracle, but we were going to build a monument. We were going to be the ones that said, this was not us, this was God. This could only have happened if God let it happen. And God made a way in our lives. So we stood in our lounge room holding hands with our kids. And we decided not to forget this moment. We didn't call it a home when we prayed for it. We called it a miracle home. from the second we told the kids, we said, kids, we're praying for a miracle home. Miracle home. So we held hands in our shoebox in Sydney, overpriced, but provided by God, and we prayed. We said, God, we didn't do this. It was you. You performed a miracle. We will not forget what you've done. We will remember the goodness and the faithfulness and the favor of God in our lives, that you went before us, you're behind us, you're all around us. God, we thank you for this gift. God, let this place be a place of blessing, that our neighbors will come to know you, our neighbors will be healed, that we would have life groups in this place. God, that people's lives will literally be changed right here, right now, in Jesus' name. We finished praying, and that week, bumped into the neighbor who was just walking to the bins. She looks at me and she goes, are you Jesse? Like, exactly. I'm like, no. What are you trying to say? Are you Jesse? I said, yeah. She said, I went to church years ago in Melbourne. 10 years ago, I went to church and gave my heart to the Lord, and I've drifted from God. And it's funny because I looked up and you were right there. Who knows that God has a way of providing not only for my family, but positioning you, positioning me to be the hands and feet of God. He's a miracle. Come on, give the Lord a hand. He's a miracle working God. Remember the goodness of God. It wasn't you. It wasn't your favor that you carried it yourself. It was God's hand on your life. Carry those memories into your future. Make it a habit of remembering the goodness of God. We can build the right monuments, but we can also build the wrong monuments. Before I pray for you, I felt as I was praying for you earlier today that some of us have built up the wrong monuments. See, there's a guy in the Bible by the name of Gideon. He has a vision, an angel meets him, and he builds an altar once again. Builds an altar. Because he has an encounter with God. But when he builds a first altar, God speaks to him and says, I want you to tear down your father's altar. And maybe in your family or your background or your history, there's things that are still there that have been built up that God wants you to tear down. Maybe you've built up the wrong memories, the wrong monuments in your life, and God wants to be supreme over your life. Your money isn't your Lord. Your role isn't your Lord. Your relationships are not your Lord. You need to position God in the highest place of your life. There's a word for God in the Bible, and it's this word. It's the word cornerstone. So when you position those stones of your memories and your testimonies, there's one stone that holds everything else together. It's a cornerstone. And unless you have that piece in position in your life, everything else won't stand up. Everything else won't be able to move forward in your life because he is the one that holds it all together. Hey, why don't you put your things down, stand to your feet. I want to pray for you today. If the worship team can come, we're just going to worship in a second, but I want to pray for you and pray for some people first. Maybe there's things in your life right now that God is asking you to remember. You need to walk out today with gratefulness in your heart, with thanksgiving in your heart, saying, God, I thank you. Maybe God's challenging you to get a journal or get some paper and put it on your wall. You don't have to do that, but whatever God asks you to do, start stepping into that and say, God, I'm not going to forget what you've done. I'm going to remember what you've done. I've been in church many times where I've looked down the aisle and I've seen people crying in the presence of God, encountering the presence of God. And I couldn't feel God. I couldn't see God. I just felt like God was doing nothing in my life. A key to those moments in our lives is this. We need to look back at when God last moved. When was the last time God did speak to you through his word? When was the last time you did receive a prophetic word? Hold on to that. Carry it with you into your future, even though you might not feel him now, even though you might not sense him, even though you might not know how it's going to happen. Carry that into your future. Why don't you close your eyes just for one moment? I want to pray for you today. Father, I pray for people right at the back and right at the front today. God, I pray that we would choose 12 stones. God, you have done the heavy lifting, but we will worship you. We will honor you. We'll remember you for our families, for our jobs, for their provision, for miracles, for breakthroughs. God, we refuse to let anything that you have done fall to the ground. Others might do it, but we refuse to do that. We will remember you. We will honor you. We will thank you, God. And those of us that need to tear down some monuments, negative thinking. The enemy has got into our mind. And instead of thinking of what you have done, we are carrying what the enemy's voice has spoken to us. Doubt and shame and fear into our future. God, I pray that today those will be teared down. Those will come down in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray this in your wonderful name. Amen. I want to pray for two people today. And when we were worshiping, I felt that there's people here today that have fear. Fear. The fear of man is a trap. It's a snare on your life. And until you can ask God to break that off your life, you won't step into all that he's done. Maybe it's a boss, maybe it's friends, maybe it's peers. There's a fear of man, maybe other types of fear on your life that you've carried in today. God wants to break that off you. The second thing is this, some people here that might seem obvious, but I just sensed it in my spirit that there's people here that need the peace of God, the peace of God. Can I tell you the most underrated fruit of the Spirit is the peace of God? When you don't have the peace of God, you know it. When you do, you forget about it. You take it for granted. The peace of God. If you have the peace of God, you almost, I don't want to be extreme with this, but other things you can do without some other things, but with the peace of God, how he's going to look after your kids, how he's going to help you in your marriage, how he's going to provide for you when things keep going up and cost of living, you need the peace of God. And I felt that God was going to break fear off people, but he's also going to invade your life with peace if you would let him. So, hey, why don't you just open your heart up right now? I'm not going to do anything crazy, but if that's you, one of those two things, why don't you just lift both hands to heaven? Don't, if you can't do it here, you won't do it anywhere else. Trust me. Lift both hands to heaven. If you can't say, God, I honor you in this place. I worship you in this place. When you walk out, it's going to be way more difficult to do that. But in the house of God, you can say, God, break off the fear of man in my life. Break off any fear that's not from heaven. God, I want what you have in my life. God, that I don't want a spirit of fear. I don't want to carry a spirit of fear. I want your power and your love and your sound mind in my life. God, I pray right now. Those of us, maybe it's the peace of God you need. Just lift your hands up right now. You need the peace of God in your life. Father, I thank you that your still small voice, one word from God can penetrate darkness. One whisper from heaven can literally shatter fear. Peace is reigning in your life from the top of your head. Come on, receive the peace of God. It's going to be like fresh wind blowing through. It's going to be like a fragrance of heaven blowing through your life. Come on, breathe the Holy Spirit in. Father, we pray for the peace of God. It surpasses all understanding. It will guard our heart and mind. God, we pray that fear would come off. Fear of man would come off. A spirit of fear would be broken in the name of Jesus. God, we ask, God, that we would step into all that you've called us to do. God, and we choose today to remember you.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.